Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church, a place to find refreshing faith in Jesus Christ. Visit us in Doncaster, East Melbourne. You're always welcome here.
Good evening, everyone. My name's Megan. I'm one of the ministers here at Deep Creek, and it is so good to see you here. So good to be sharing this moment. I feel like my ears are still ringing a little bit, but I think Nick was exactly right, that it is into these moments that we're seeking peace to come. I wonder if you've heard of the practice of forest bathing. You don't bring a bath into the forest, although that would be quite pleasant, depending on how assured you were of the privacy of said forest. But it was something that was developed, or given that name, I should say, in Japan in the 1980s. And they were seeing so many people burning out from their office jobs, particularly working in tech. And they could see also at the same time a devaluing of the beautiful forests in Japan. And I know that quite a few of us have actually visited in the last year or two. And so this practice of going into the forest, spending time to allow the sights and the smells, the sounds, and the feel of the place to reset you and bring peace. There's something that is actually in the aroma of the forest that helps us, and of course, taking that break to reconnect with nature, with creation, was extremely useful to people who were in danger of burning out in their very busy lives. Now, the problem, of course, with forest bathing as your answer to peace is that you have to leave at some point. I mean, I've got the attention span of a fly, and so I'd be sitting in there and I'd be like, can I leave now? I mean, I know it's good for me. Can I leave now? Also then, it would be insect bathing. After a little while, you're like, hang on, I'm sitting on it. Wait, no. And then, of course, if you've watched the TV show Alone, now I haven't watched it, but my husband has watched it, and he has told me everything anybody could ever want to know about the show. I feel like I've watched it, and that's great. If you know, you know. In Alone, people, the idea is, how long can you spend forest bathing, basically? How long can you be out by yourself in the wilderness and keep yourself alive? Now, after the initial piece, those that have the skills to catch their own food, etc., seem to do pretty good. But even those ones who've had, you know, a terrific time of catching wild-caught salmon and, I don't know, tiny raccoons. The tiny ones are more delicious? I don't know. Even they get to the point of thinking, the peace that I have here, this moment of being alone in this place where I can provide for myself and I'm connected to creation, is actually not what I long for. I miss my friends. I miss my family. I miss, if they have children, my children. And so often, even if they can catch the tastiest tiny raccoons, they choose to go home because the peacefulness of being in this beautiful environment actually still does not bring everything that they long for. Now, you can tell me if I've got Alone all wrong after the sermon. That's fine. But the thing about peace is that it's really complex. Finding peace in my life, finding peace in your life, is not a matter of how long you can spend connecting with nature, finding that quiet, being by yourself. It's actually so complex that there are people around the world for whom it wouldn't matter how long and with how many loved ones. So life has been to them that peace feels absolutely out of reach. You and I could just name country after country, conflict after conflict, concern after concern, which would prevent anyone from finding the peace that they long for with the resources that seem to be available to them. And so into this complex, distant desire for peace comes the message of Christmas. But actually comes the message of the forerunner of Christmas, Zechariah and John the Baptist. So we had a little video from the Chosen series where Mary goes to see Elizabeth, her cousin. Elizabeth is Zechariah's wife. She's late in years and she is pregnant. Zechariah, her husband, can't speak because the angel said, "This is going to be a sign to you you did not believe," which we totally get. "And now you're going to be silent until the baby is born." Then the reading that Jeremy brought to us is that moment. John is born. They don't call him after his dad. They call him John. The Lord is gracious. And Zechariah, from being silent, is now filled with the Holy Spirit. And he prophesies. He speaks about the plan of God for the world. And the final line in his prophecy is this: "To shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, and guide our peace into the path of peace." The path to peace. He's speaking to the child and all who will greet him, John, that this is part of a pathway to God's true answer to peace. And I think that it can be quite strange to us that you spend 3 or 4 weeks leading up to Christmas not really talking about Jesus, but talking about his cousins and aunties and uncles, and there's Zechariah and John. But the purpose of that, not simply to place Jesus in this kind of richer narrative context, but it's to show us that what Jesus came to do, who he came to be for us, needs to be part of a path to peace. That there needs to be preparation. That there's a pace to God's plans and the way he works out his purposes in the world. That there is a purpose to this baby who will be born. And indeed, the path of peace leads to him. So let's just think about these four things for the next few minutes. The path of peace needs preparation. Zechariah says this, "And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of their God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." This is a mission of preparation. If peace is to be a beautiful garden, a beautiful forest, something that will grow within us and around us and in the human race, there needs to be preparation. Now, I think if you've been around here before, and this is my sixth Christmas here at Deep Creek, you might have heard me say I live across the river in Nillumbik, and Nillumbik means really terrible, awful soil, the worst, bad soil. I know some of you also live in Nillumbik, and you share my pain. But what happens if you live in Nillumbik and you're on a slope which has been cut and filled? You have the worst soil in the history of humankind. There are bricks in there. There are nails. There are bits of plastic. You know, it is the worst. And so if I am to do any decent growing of anything nurturing that would bring me some peace, there needs to be all kinds of preparation of my soil. And John's job in the history of humanity was to come and be the preparer of the soil so that when Jesus Christ was born, he, as this incredible gift that could grow into the most incredible peace for the world and for ourselves, didn't just bounce off a brick, didn't just hit the clay of Nillumbik, didn't just find itself in the dustiest, driest, hardest ground. John came to have a public ministry to call people to repent, to turn back to God, to actually be facing in the right direction to receive the gift that was coming. Prepare. Make space. Soften your heart. The path to peace needed preparation. But the path to peace also has a pace. So I'm not a huge hiker, but I know that when I do hike, I need to keep a consistent pace. Some of you who are trail runners, you know, you are doing a lot faster on those trails than was ever designed. Let's face it. It was ever designed to have you walk, run, whatever it is. But we know that on a path we need to keep the right pace. And God's pace has been measured. So Zechariah says these words, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn," that means strength of salvation for us, "in the house of his servant David." There's a pace marker. "As he said through his holy prophets long ago," a pace marker. "Salvation from our enemies, from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham." These are the pace markers of God's plan and path to peace for humankind. God knows that peace for human beings is deeply complex. If anyone tells you that you can join the church and everything will be peaceful in your life, well, they may not have understood that peace in human beings, human relationships, with our relationship with the earth and the relationship with our own soul is deeply complex. And sometimes it takes a paced measure of time to get there. So much so that God took centuries before the time was right for Jesus to be born. The path to peace has a pace, and it may be for you that you need to take some time to align with that pace, to see what God has been doing in the decades, the centuries, the millennia before it makes sense to you why Jesus is here. What went wrong with humankind? Why did God call a people through Abraham? What was the hope of King David? These pacemakers are also question marks that can help you to understand the path to peace in this baby. Thirdly, the path to peace has a purpose. I don't know if you caught this, but Zechariah said that the point of the preparation and this paced path to peace that John would bring was to rescue us from the hand of our enemies, to enable us to serve him or worship him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. There is a purpose to the work of Jesus and, of course, the preparation of John. It's not simply to lift our burdens, but it is, once they are lifted, to give us the purpose of serving God on the earth, to bring justice and goodness, to worship God, to connect with him, to be with him. Imagine you had a very large debt, and for some of you, and especially those of us with mortgages, you don't have to really be very imaginative. And something happened by which the bank said, or whoever, to whoever you owe the debt, it's forgiven, it's gone. And you had been, you know, going through the last 2 years of interest rate rises, and again, it's not really a hypothetical situation. And suddenly this great burden is gone. Now, you could say, fantastic, leave it at that, life goes on. Or you could say, this burden has been lifted, and now in my freedom, what can I do? What can I do for those around me? What can I do in relationships? What can I do at work, in my career? What can I do in the world? And that indeed actually is what John's dad is saying, that when salvation comes, when the burden is lifted, when forgiveness comes to us in Jesus and everything good that we have longed for, it is for a purpose, to enable us to be free, to serve him, to worship him, to connect with him, to make a difference in his name on the earth, in holiness aligned with him and righteousness, right living and justice before God all our days. It's not simply a path to peace. The peace has a purpose. And finally, of course, in our text today, the path to peace leads straight to a person. You have this strange kind of disconnect, or as we say in my family, smash cut two, which is like TV, right? You kind of, you know, someone is foreshadowing something. Oh, that's never going to happen. And we say smash cut two, and there it is happening. Here, Zechariah says, you're going to prepare the way. You're going to go before the Lord. For you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him to give his people the knowledge of salvation. Smash cut two. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. The story of the birth of Jesus. Everything that Zechariah is prophesying, looking forward to, now finds its fulfillment in the birth of this baby. We're going to take some time to respond. And I wanted to just have us think about these four areas as they might pertain to our own spirit. At the end of the rows in the middle aisle here, Every second row there, there's some pencils and a little scrap of paper. So I encourage those that are on the end of the row to pick those up. If you need a pencil, take one, take a piece of paper. If you've got a pen already, you can use that. That's fine, whatever you like. Pass them along. The path of peace needs preparation. I'm sure that if you are hosting Christmas this year or going somewhere else, you know what it means to prepare. If you're someone who makes puddings and cakes and things, you might have already been doing that for weeks or months. The peace that you and I seek, not simply the absence of conflict, but the connection with God, with the earth, with ourselves, might need some preparation in your life. It may be that there is no way you can connect with this baby in a manger because at the moment there is all kinds of rocks and rubble, hardness, dustiness, dryness, questions, lostness. And it may be that rather than saying, I'm jumping all in, you need to say this Christmas, is there preparation I need to make to know more? Is there something that needs to go or something that needs to come into my life so that I can walk down this path of peace? The second thing to say is that the path of peace has a pace. And it may be that you are traveling so fast in your life that there is just no way that you can hear the voice of God and keep pace with Him as He calls you to peace. Sometimes they say that the body re-educates the soul. You have a great desire for peace in your soul and you see the attractiveness of Jesus, of all that He taught, of all that He calls you to do and to be, the community that He can place you in. And yet your pace of living, the franticness of work, of things with family, with the kids, whatever it is, actually prevents you from being able to walk at God's pace on His path to peace. Perhaps that's something that you want to respond in this Christmas. The third, of course, is that the path of peace is for a purpose. As I said before, peace is not simply the absence of conflict, although the absence of conflict is a big part of it. You may be experiencing great conflict at work, at home, with loved ones, with neighbours, just the way you feel about society and your place within it. And of course, looking around our entire world and seeing the conflict that just rolls on over decade and generation after generation. And we seek the absence of this conflict. And we seek it for ourselves and we ask God, well, if there's something that Jesus can do in this, I'm all for it. And He can. But it's for a purpose. It's so that once that conflict is lifted and that relationship is restored, then you are able to bring grace and goodness and receive grace and goodness and live in the peace of God into this world more and more. Jesus can bring the resolution of conflict, but he has a purpose for it, that we would serve God and worship him, know him, connect to him and love him. And finally, the path of peace leads to a person. It's possible to want to have Christian values, to have Christian morals and to live in a Christian nation so that we might imitate or emulate what Jesus' life seems to offer us. But the path to peace is not imitation of Jesus or copying his peace. It's receiving Jesus. It's receiving Jesus' gift of himself to bring peace. It may take a long time for you to really grasp what that means, or it may be that your heart says, I need that now. And so I want you to take your little piece of paper and a pencil. And I just want you to engage with these four options for response. Is there something that you know that just needs, you need to prepare the way? Is there a pace of life? Do you need to understand the purpose or be willing to live it? Or is it something to do with the person of Jesus? You might want to write that. Just put preparation or pace or purpose or person, or you might just want to write your name or nothing. But in a few moments after we've sung Silent Night, we're going to have an opportunity to just bring those responses and place them in the manger as we journey the path to Christmas, we journey the path to peace.